Hello, our friends, Evolutionary EE Arts and Heart's Home family.
Hello there. Welcome back.
As always, guys, please do subscribe. All three channels have that little bell clicked, and we want to thank you for your support over on Patreon and also over on Ko-Fi, where you could do a one-time donation to support the channel or monthly and just change the number of coffees, as I'm still sucking on morning coffee. Oh my gosh. Yeah, it's been one of those days, but we went for a nice walk, and we got some time with nature in, and the dogs are quiet because we did that.
Thank goodness they're taking a nice nap.
Yes, and we'll have a second video that we'll be uploading over on Heart's Home, sharing what we were inspired to share when we were out in the woods. So here we have deaths reported, unfortunately, as a powerful magnitude 6.5 earthquake rocks Afghanistan, Pakistan, India. This is the Hindu Kush region. And the thing is, with this area, you will get big quakes. You will definitely get big quakes. A lot of the houses are not very, very well constructed. There's a lot of poor people in this area. And unfortunately, there are lives lost. You had a 13-year-old girl that lost her life when a wall in her home collapsed on her. 34 people were injured in the northern Pakistani district of Swat, police officer told Reuters. You know, it's still early as far as discovering the damage. What's interesting is that there's a couple of sources that are calling this 7.7, and it's got me perplexed, honestly. I was saying, well, is there two? Are they talking about two different quakes? Was it a pre-quake? You know, again, curious. 7.7 and a 7.7, they're calling it over here, and they're using the Richter scale. And when we have over here the 6.5, as you can see, and the MSC is calling it a 6.5 as well. That's a big difference. So I'm not really sure why that was reported differently. Again, yeah, I'll refresh this and we could zoom in because I only see one quake. I know I had seen Dutch was talking about this. That's a big difference. 7.7 and 6.5 is just an enormous difference. As you see, this gentleman didn't lose his cool at all. He's just going along, even though he's bouncing, rocking, and rolling. All the TV monitors are shaking like crazy. This is Pakistan local TV newscaster doing his best. He's kind of getting moving. Now we can't see his face anymore. There he goes.
I know. That's pretty good work there when you're able to sit there and talk through everything. I know sometimes people kind of enjoy a little bit of rattling and shaking. It doesn't bother them too much. He must be one of them.
As we see cracks appear in multiple buildings, this is in Islamabad after this quake hit. Here we see people rushing from their homes in northern India. Now here they're calling it a 6.8. It was felt in China, India, Pakistan, Kazakhstan, Uzbekistan, you know, as well. It feels, I don't know, it feels like there's a little technology involved. Whoa, Kitty's doing best to hang on, but it looks like Kitty's getting nauseous.
Oh no, poor Kitty.
Meow, blurp. And we have earthquake lights being seen here. I wonder if there's any harps playing in the background there.
There's definitely something going on. You said something curious. You said, you know, does this feel like harp? Does this feel like CERN? And my inner spidey senses really, really went off when you said CERN. So there feels like there's definitely something that's not natural going on here.
Now, you could see this area, of course. We had the big quake in Turkey that also affects Syria, almost directly west, just about exactly west of this area. As you can see, the plate boundary lines. Wonder. You know, one thing I'll say about Pakistan is, you know, that they have been in the news, you know, politically again, and they've expressed sending military support, surprisingly, maybe to some, a little surprising to many, to Ukraine. And, you know, that hasn't really gone over well. This is, again, an area where, and this is centered in Afghanistan, but, you know, again, when we go back in history, you could see this was really all one territory. And then, of course, you know, the map's always changing. But when we talk about, like, say, India at the time of the Mahabharata and the Ramayana, you know, really this was all kind of one civilization. And, you know, it's been split up, Pakistan and India, because of religious differences. And Pakistan is predominantly Muslim and India is predominantly Hindu. And then we know of the POPPY crop that's up there in Afghanistan. Afghanistan's been just suffering from like 50 years of nonstop warfare. It really even goes back farther than that. It's enough to make one nauseous. Yes. So yeah, there definitely could be some technology involved there. And there's rains going on still over in California, from drought to deluge. California experiences second snowiest winter on record. Yeah, absolutely. Second snowiest ever. And, you know, I know it was raining over there. We were talking to, I love that cat. We were talking to family members over in the greater Anaheim, LA area. And it was a chilly, wet day. I think the same is in store again for tomorrow. We have yet another volcano erupting, a vigorous eruption at Nevado del Ruiz in Colombia. You know, there's a lot of volcanic activity that has just been building up. And we've talked about, you know, will it get colder? Will it get warmer? Well, we see that all this, you know, global warming truly has not manifested. It has not manifested. In fact, a lot of things are being rewritten to let us know we're actually heading a little bit more in the other way, the other direction. There were two CMEs that happened, but they do not appear to be heading in our direction, thankfully. And this is not good. Strawberry market's going to tighten as the California rains continue. This is really sad, as it was, you know, just about prime picking time coming, and 50 to 70% of the strawberry harvest has been lost due to water damage. So, you know, if you're somebody that is eating strawberries, by the way, they are one of those that you should really get organic. There are some things you can get by without getting organic, but in these times, I wouldn't recommend anything, honestly. But strawberries, heavily sprayed. If you are, you know, getting quote unquote conventional, and boy, that's back ass word, isn't it? Conventional. Conventional is the way Mother Nature made, not scientists. You know, gosh, we are so upside down, topsy turvy, inside out. And if you are eating strawberries, I would strongly recommend making sure they're organic, because again, they're so heavily pesticide laden. And, you know, that's one of the things that I'll find myself just telling people in the grocery store if I see them. You know, they spray those with a lot of pesticides that can cause cancer. Oh, really? Yes, where have you been? You know, it's the same thing with coffee. When people are going and they're getting coffees that are not organic, it's like, oh, you want a little hot water and DDT in the morning? Yeah.
I know. And it's like, you can tell people that, and so many times they're more like, well, they're on sale, you know. So I don't know. Gotta use your words where they're needed or wanted, most definitely. But this is really, really unfortunate. And again, you know, another targeted thing that they're calling some sort of an accident. I don't think so.
Yeah, absolutely. And so we have a meeting tomorrow. We're going to see what happens. And we're talking about will there be another interest rate hike, or will they just basically let it ride? Because, you know, obviously we've had an inflationary environment, and now we have an extremely shaky banking environment. So what's going to win out? As you see right now, lots of debate as to whether there'll be a 25 basis point rate hike or no rate at all. Right here, they're giving odds. 86.4% chance of a hike. 13.6 for no hike. We'll see. Yeah, sounds like, again, you know, the whole financial system, it is all basically legalized betting when you get down to it. Truly, it is. But you know, when we look at a lot of the numbers, you know, it's pretty ominous out there. By the way, the U.S. has been setting all sorts of records for the cold, and the cold and the crops. And what we just saw, you know, in Texarkana area, as well as the rest of the South, look at these little blue dots popping up everywhere and those green dots. These are records that are falling. The way that cold came in and swooped on down just when everybody was getting things rolling. We were talking to farmers that had, you know, just put a whole bunch of things, you know, getting them ready, and tomato plants and pepper plants and things like that. And yeah, even starting, you know, of course, in your greenhouse and then rolling them out, but they were worried about them even making it out in the greenhouses. And, you know, think about the timing. And now we're going to like 82 in a couple days, 85. It just does not feel natural, because it's going to impact again our food supply and prices. And it's just, you know, call me a CONS piracy theorist, but it certainly feels like somebody's out to make life unaffordable.
Mm-hmm. I know, it does seem to be getting that way, you know, little by little, inch by inch. And there's a lot of people who, you know, were really concerned about that dip in weather, that had crops that were well on their way, that were doing very, very good. So, gosh, you know, it seems like another deliberate smack to keep people from being self-sufficient.
Now, this should tell you that things are changing. Home prices fell in February for the first time in 11 years. 11 years. U.S. sales of existing homes jumped 14.5% from the prior month, but was sharply down from the year earlier. So, you know, year on year. The market is changing. And I was looking at local numbers, and I saw there were three times as many new houses coming onto the market as were sold last month. Ah, this is a sign of changing times. And, you know, it's been a case where there's been so much demand, so little supply. But now, obviously, the interest rates have gone up so high where you could afford a lot less house. You're going to be paying, you know, most people finance. And actually, it was interesting to see the stats. You know, we always kind of grew up back in the day with the notion that you put 20% down. Hardly anybody puts 20% down anymore. What's interesting to see is there's a lot of cash sales, and then you have a lot of people that put down either 3.5% or 5%. You know, they'll go the FHA, the CHA route. And, you know, if you are looking rurally, you can also get USDA loans with nothing down as well. And, you know, we're not specialists on all this. We just want to bring this up from our own personal experience and share it with you guys. One thing that you can see is not all markets are equal as well. As, you know, we've been talking about this, California and New York, people are leaving in droves. So, you know, again, certain markets, you know, it's going to be a much sharper change. If you were somebody that had the money to speculate, you could make a killing in places like Florida with timing, per se. Because right now, you can see top 10 metros in the U.S. with the fastest growth, growing sales price. And this is from Redfin. Tallahassee, Florida, number one, 30.3%. Wow, that's really huge. Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, Fayetteville, North Carolina, They're 2 and 3 respectively. Lehigh Acres, Florida, number 4. Wichita, Kansas. Really? That's curious. That's a little surprising. What people flocking to Wichita, Kansas? Well, hey, maybe a lot of people realize, hey, we need to be able to grow our own food. You know, Kansas is a really good, you know, growing spot. Lots of farmers out there. Naples, Florida. And then we go into Lexington, Kentucky and Lexington, Fayette, Kentucky. Now, those surprised me. And again, Kentucky, though, is a very, very affordable area. You could get a lot of land. Again, Theoria Apophysis, Ken, you know, he bought his place. I forget exactly how much land he has. I forget, but I thought he said he got his cabin in 5 acres, or it might have been 10, for around $50,000 to $60,000. That type of thing could be had in certain areas. Kentucky is one of those. Sarasota, Florida. Yeah, they've always been kind of in this list. And St. Petersburg, Florida. So you see a lot of Florida. But also what happens is when it crashes, since so many people have second homes traditionally in Florida, it tends to crash even more. You know, so again, when after the crash comes, then people will swoop in, buy up places, and then ride another wave. This is what, you know, the wealthy can do on a regular basis that most people cannot do. So it's just interesting to watch all this. Auto loan denials hit 6-year high. You know, more people than ever being told, nope, sorry, we can't give you a loan. Yeah, it's definitely a sign of the times again. As you see, everything is proportionate to the credit scores as well. And the subprime fiasco we had going back in the 08 crash. There's meat shortages in Israel. And, you know, this is just a different world we're in right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I mean, if you're really not paying too much attention, you might not actually notice, because I see the changes that they're making are so very, very slow. Yet when it does finally come to your front door, oh boy, there is a lot to deal with.
Case of a Democratic representative saying that parents are often not qualified to make decisions for their kids. Yeah, you know, this is... This is something that, of course, most of us don't want to hear anybody thinking that they're going to make better decisions, you know, for our kids than us. When government steps over those bounds, which it has done. I mean, the laws that are in Oregon and Washington that I've seen in place, and many times when people find that, you know, the state's actually taking their kids away from them, there's nothing more infuriating than that. Now, granted, you know, there are a lot of parents out there that are not good parents. But then again, is Uncle Sam a good parent? I don't think Uncle Sam knows how to do a lot of things. And we've seen that so much of the political structure is corrupt or incompetent or both. Just beyond belief.
Well, what's so sad is the government sweeps in, and this isn't the first time they've done that. You know, they created CPS so long ago, and they just come in and claim, okay, the parents are drinking, this is not a safe space for the kids, and they take these children and they do things to them that's going to corrupt them, and it's going to alter the way that they do things. It's going to change them for life. And this is looks like it's another situation where they're going to take children away from their home, away from everything that they know, and then they're going to teach them what they want so that they can grow up and do what they need them to do, you know, and make sure that the kids are indoctrinated to a very high degree. And it's just, it's disgusting. It's sick. You know, I have nothing nice to say about this. Children belong home with their parents. And what I see more often is children, you know, going to some kind of school earlier and earlier and earlier and earlier. I think it's going to be very nice when parents are finally able to stay home and raise their kids and teach them things that are very useful and important, like how to build a house, how to grow a garden, how to take care of farm animals. You know, all of these things are what we need to sustain ourselves. And it's just, look at what they're teaching them, everything opposite that.
Absolutely. You know, and here you have, you know, again, now I'm somebody that doesn't drink, smoke, or take any pharmaceuticals. That's just my particular choice. But you'll have the government, you know, looking at certain things and you know, certain things that are being used by the parents could be looked at, and they could take your kids from you. But then at the same time, you could go to the DR and get a script for something that will cause suicidal tendencies, and it's perfectly okay. And, you know, just as long as, you know, how many people actually read all the warnings on those labels? I mean, if you really read it, let it soak in. It's these things that are used every day, that are, you know, given to people as a recommendation for usage by their DRs, often cause way more problems than they ever solve, and are literally putting the kids in danger because the parents are on these things. And it's totally legal. It's all part of the system. It's just a horrible travesty. Because again, you know, it's not understanding, you know, it's you know, this could really wind you up. I mean, you understand, like, from the TCM point of view, when you're talking like traditional medicine and more of a shamanistic point of view, so much of our issues that will cause like anxieties and different mental conditions are all the result of not being able to process emotions. It's all about processing emotions and coming to understandings, realizations, and letting go. And these things don't do that. They just mask. They just, you know, they cause certain pathways in the brain to not fire per se, but they don't really get to the root cause of the problem. And as, you know, one of Cindy's favorite books to recommend is
Feelings Buried Alive Never Die. I highly recommend that if you're someone who has some pretty serious emotional issues, so you really understand how important it is to pull that stuff out of your system, get it out of your energy field, process it. It's got to go.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so again, disease comes from dis-ease, comes from tensions, anxieties, fears, you know, things like that that we just can't process. And so, you know, again, it's always the system just puts band-aids on amputations left and right, and it doesn't lead to any resolution.
Mm-hmm. You know, and then even child rearing, we're mostly taught, you know, to keep children in line. And if a child cries, a lot of times it's more like, just stop crying. You know, they don't teach us to take the time to help the child sit and identify the emotion and talk through it. And I don't think that's a bad thing at all. We should be teaching our children how to identify their emotions and cope, because it's lack of any kind of coping mechanism, in that you're just wanting to put one band-aid over another, and as that energy just backs up into your field, it's creating more and more trauma. So it's so important to recognize those emotions, pick them out, what are they, talk about it, process it. But gosh, look what kind of world we live in. We live in a world where parents have to be up and off to work. You know, there is only so much time. There's so many time constraints, and parents really honestly don't always have the time to sit and talk to their child. But you can see how this is so deliberately set up. The world we live in is so deliberate, and it's not conducive to our evolutionary period that we're in right now.
And here we have Putin to Xi. We support Chinese yuan use with Asia, Africa, Latin America. Yeah, obviously the power switch is so well underway right now. As you see, Russia-China ties enter new era as Xi meets Putin in Moscow. They signed an agreement together. It has no limit to their partnership plan. So what does that mean? That means, you know, they got each other's back in every way, shape, and form, economically and militarily. Yeah, and this comes after that arrest warrant, international arrest warrant on for Putin. So again, we see the great divide. It's the division that you saw previously in the other two WWs that's happening right now. And space station discarded some trash, and it rained fire in California's sky. Whoa. Yeah, no kidding. Jeff Waters and his friends weren't sure what to think of the streaking lights that dashed across the Sacramento night sky late Friday. About seven meteor-like blazes appeared to dart by around 9:30 p.m., diverting attention from the St. Paddy's Day revelry, as evidenced by a video that Waters took. It looked crazy, he said. We thought maybe it was some sort of Starlink or SpaceX thing. See, that's what we think all the time now. See something in the sky, you think, oh, it must be Elon, must be SpaceX, Starlink, yeah. But this was flaming orbital debris, they say, oh, that's the key part, re-entering Earth's atmosphere above Northern California after years spent orbiting the Earth since being discarded from the International Space Station in 2020. Yeah, okay, what do you feel?
I don't know. I remember a couple of weeks ago, I was seeing something coming from the sky that didn't look very normal. In fact, it kind of had this feeling that it was some sort of space debris, but this definitely looks like something of a definitely like a galactic sort. And there is a war going on above our heads that we cannot see, but in certain times we can see it, but then we're not told what it truly is.
Yeah, there's always the true damage control, you know, as far as letting humans know only so much. Sonic boom reported after meteor explodes over Western Canada. Oh, was it a meteor, though? See, this is exactly what we're talking about. 9 reports from people in Alberta and Saskatchewan. A fireball moving, as you see, again, we see that they always look kind of the same. They usually end up giving a nice big little burst, and then whoop, they're gone. Yeah, so yeah, it's just another meteor. Now, this wouldn't be just another meteor. This is a big one. Asteroid 2023 DZ2 to fly past Earth at 0.4 lunar distance on the 25th. Largest since September 16th, 2021. This one is 141 to 311 feet across. So this would be one that if it was to come in an impact could probably do some serious damage. The 17th known asteroid to fly past Earth within one lunar distance since the start of the year, and the 5th one this month. And again, remember, they've told us now that basically the moon is in our atmosphere. So that means this is in our atmosphere. And look at this guy. Now, hey, there's an actual friendly reptilian that knows how to share. Oh my goodness.
I know, isn't he so cute? He's enjoying this. This is super fun, super cute. Nice stretch. Yes, I think this is some sort of a alligator yoga.
Yeah, right. Well, you know, again, it's nice to see reptilians being able to get along and not devour their neighbor. Yeah, I guess the politicians can learn from this one anyway.
Most definitely.
As always, guys, God bless and namaste.
Namaste.